I'd like to call the August 20th, 2025 meeting of the WPCA committee together at 6:34. Item number two, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America,
And
to
to
the
the
republic
Republic,
for which
which
it
is
stands, one
one nation,
nation, under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible, liberty and
with
justice
justice for all. All right, roll call. Myself, I'm here. Mr. Miani is not present. Mr. Curtis.
here.
Ms. Strickland.
Here.
Having three of us here, the meeting is accepted. Public portion. Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak? Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak? And third and final time, is there anybody from the public that would like to speak? Hearing none, we'll move on to item five. No minutes for this meeting. Item number six, Weston and Sampson monthly engineering report.
Okay, hello everyone. First project there is a project that does not end. It seems like started in 2015. There was a site walk today to go over a bunch of items. There's some manhole work that has to be done, clean out some manholes, raise some covers. Fucci, the contractor in the state, so I'll have to get a schedule when that work's gonna get done, but trying to finalize that, try to close out that project. All the other information has been updated. See, we got the CCTV videos. So that's the update on that. Just don't have a schedule for when the manhole work will be done. Second item is the II removal project. The current one is phase six. That National Water Main was the low bidder. We had a pre-construction meeting yesterday. This is the one that's going to be mostly, there's like 30 manhole repairs. We've been processing shop drawings. They're going to mobilize in September and should be done. Work should be done this fall. May want to consider something on the website. You know, we could talk later, but just to say this is coming to let people know we're going to be, it's not all in one area, it's citywide. Maybe a topic for a website update. Item three is the MPDES permit renewal. I'm hearing things where no one's getting their permits renewed, so you're just going to keep you operating on your existing permit. So unless Ed's got a letter, I haven't seen a letter from the state. So it's going to be there for a while. Fourth item is the dewatering system, the Fournier press. That's been working well. It's all complete. I think there's one or two outstanding contractor invoices, the final invoice. That's probably on the list to be paid. The aeration, the blowers, all three blowers were installed by WPCA. I believe they're all operational. And I know Aaron was working on the controls. And then Matt is going to be finalizing the grant application for for reimbursement for this work. The Naugatuck River siphon, we had a meeting in July with FEMA, and then subsequent conversations with them regarding the funding. So I think after that meeting, we kind of put this on pause, but until we want to be 100% certain about funding. So nothing really to update on that. And the last project is the wastewater treatment plant project. We're still moving toward 30% design, structural design, architectural design, mechanical process equipment. They're all it's all moving forward. So we're looking for a 30% design submission this fall, and we're on track to bidding this in December of 26. So we still got a ways to go, but and we'll give you another update on item 12.
Excellent. Are there any questions in regards to the engineer's report?
Oh, not here.
Okay. Time for the Ferraris. All right. We have a wastewater treatment plant upgrade bill for a total of $96,100. And I'm assuming, Bob, that's just the design stuff that we'll be seeing quite shortly.
Yeah, that's a, it'll we'll show you where we're at. Yeah, I'll get exactly.
Excellent. And the only thing I'm going to point out too is the majority of the bills coming in so far are actually less than the estimated value that we put on the project, which I'm sure we're all glad about. So, do I have a motion to pay the Weston and Sampson invoice 8250632 for $96,100?
Motion.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
Second by Mr. Curtis. Any discussion?
Yes. All in, just, yes. Charlie, just for the minutes, well, we don't have minutes, but for sake of recording, this comes out of the bond.
Yes, okay. From the bond fund. Yep. Excellent. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. All right. Next, we are at Mr. Abel's report.
Hi, good evening, all. In the collection system for July of 2025, we responded to a total of 65 call before you dig tickets with one emergency. No emergency after hours calls this month. For the plant, we had an average daily flow of 1.08 million gallons a day with a total flow of 33.55 million gallons a day and a max daily flow of 1.85 million gallons a day. Our average total nitrogen was 48 pounds per day. Permit limit is 70, which brought our annual average down to 86.25. Average effluent BOD is 4 milligrams per liter. Average suspended solids is 3 milligrams per liter with an average turbidity of 1.8. For maintenance, we jet cleaned 1,000 feet of city sewer main. We CCTV'd 3,800 feet of city sewer main. The electrical conduits, wiring, and connections were all installed for the blowers 2 and 3. The CCTV camera was sent out for routine maintenance as well. In general, our average percent solids for July with the new press is 25.13. The blowers 2 and 3 were fully installed and are operational. As we continue to work with FEMA for disaster damage assistance for the East Derby siphon, continuing to work with DEP, CTDOT, and Metro North for all the proper permits for the East Derby siphon repair. We came across some manholes on Ashwood Terrace that we believed to be paved over, so we were working on locating the buried manholes to bring them up to grade. This has been something that has been in the works the last couple of weeks. Reason being is Ashwood Terrace is a cul-de-sac, and we have someone at the end of the cul-de-sac that's currently on septic. Their septic system is failing, so they want to connect to the city sewer. On our mapping system, it shows that we have 4 manholes on Ashwood Terrace, and it was paved recently where we believed that the manholes were paved over. We went out a couple times last week, and we were out there today with American Router because our camera was sent for maintenance, so we couldn't get a look at it, and Frank Pepe. And we were able to do so much with the camera. It does not look like there were ever any manholes on that street. It's looking more like the main that they found is a 6-inch, which the city standard is 8-inch. So there is a chance that this may be a private lateral. We're continuing to investigate to see if this is on the city of Derby or if it's a private lateral that was there from before. One of the problems that we ran into is if this is a city sewer main, then we would need to put manholes in the street. And when we did the cameraing today, there were multiple breaks in the line. So those would have to get repaired as well. We will continue to do our due diligence to investigate to see what is going on over here at Ashwood and bring everyone hopefully up to speed at next month's meeting. And lastly, the quote for the camera truck CCTV cable.
And we'll go to that in a second, Ed. Thank you. I just want to note for the record that Mr. Miani joined the meeting at 6:43 p.m. So you want to talk about the quote for the camera truck?
Yes. So the quote is for $7,322.12. It's a 1,000-foot cable. We bought brand new with the camera truck back in 2019. It's had multiple breaks in the line that we've been able to repair, but every time that we repair it, we have to cut it back so far. And we're about 600 feet, so it's about time to get it replaced before we can't go back any further.
So just the question on this quote, it says 7322 and 12 cents, but it also says 350. So it would actually be 7672 and 12 cents, correct?
Yes, sir. The total price.
Okay. All right. So I'm
Motion
gonna,
to pay. Go
yeah,
ahead.
let me just jump back real quick, Mr. Curtis. And is there any questions on the report itself?
I just looked up last month's, and the nitrogen is down 6 pounds from last month. So we should be back to normal by the end of the year, right, Ed?
I'm sorry, Mr.
Oh,
Curtis, you broke up on that.
I'm sorry. I just looked at last month's report, and we're down 6 pounds on the nitrogen per day compared to last month. So we're pretty much going to, hopefully by the end of the year, be able to fall right into place, huh?
That's what we're hoping for. If we can,
Good.
if we keep the average total right now under 50, we'll be very close, if not under the limit for the year.
No, that's good. That's real good. And that was all because of losing your bacteria, right? Is that what caused that?
Issues we were having with the clarifiers in the beginning of the year, and then the loss of the plant because of the blower issues later on.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's real good.
Excellent. Any other questions in regards to Ed's report? Hearing none, then I'm going to jump to Mr. Curtis's. So I'll make a motion that we pay the quote to Bar Sales Inc. for the CCTV camera cable assembly in the total amount of $7,672.12. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Strickland. Any discussion? Hearing none. All approved.
Hi.
Aye.
Hey.
Any opposed? Hearing none, it passed. Go grab yourself a cable there.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Ed. All right. Mr. Hall, good evening. How are you, sir?
Hello, good evening, everyone. Yeah, so we've got the check runs for the last month. It's been very busy, as you can see, end of the year and beginning of the new year. So hopefully nothing on here is surprising. Everybody recognizes all of them, most of the big ones you've already approved. So I don't know if anyone's got any questions. Like I said, it is quite a big week, almost 300 grand.
That comes out of Weston and Sampson Ferraris, though, right?
What was the
We're
models on?
seeing what we're building. It's gonna be like just stacks of box Ferraris. He's gonna show us pictures.
Matt got on here. He thought he was going to have a great night. Sorry, Matt.
I drive a
A 2011 Honda CRV. I'm looking forward to that Ferrari, guys. I don't
Excellent. Any questions on the expenses? It's actually 240, almost 247,000 for the month, which was a good month, but obviously we spent a lot in the Weston and Sampson end of it too, but no questions?
You know, I do. I do have one
Go
question,
ahead.
And I don't mean to be a stickler or anything. I'm looking at one bill. Every so often, something sticks out in my mind. Excavate removing a yard hydrant and filling the hole for almost $7,400. What's that all about?
We had one of our hydrants at the plant was leaking, creating ponding going outside the back of the building. So we had to excavate that down and put a new hydrant in. That the hydrant was the most expensive part.
Okay, so that included a hydrant. I just see fill and hole there. I'm thinking it's been removed. Okay, yeah, I understand the price of the hydrant then. Okay, understood. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I don't think I'm picking on Pepe when I bring up his bills. It's just that's my thing when I see a hydrant and that much money. I didn't know you put another hydrant in replacement. It's just something that popped up at me. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And the budget report, Brian.
Sure. So we're getting close to finishing up the June 30th, 2025 books. You know, it is August, so it's seems I'd say, but there's a lot to do to close up the books for the city and get everything ready. So this is definitely our very busy time of the year. But I'm hopeful that we've got a good team, got new auditors. We're going to make a lot more progress and get things done a lot sooner than we have in the past. But, you know, that said, we're pretty much landing the ship right where our budget was, you know, a little bit less revenues and a little bit less expenses, you know, kind of net net, it's a wash. And that includes the 200 grand that everybody approved last month for the capital. So again, you know, we had the budget for it. And that was what the decision was. And then as we've discussed in previous meetings, it's, you know, we're a little bit more on the capital side, but that's, you know, to be expected and probably a good thing. It means we're, you know, progressing along at a good pace and, you know, being more efficient. Is there any questions about where we're, you know, the budget for 25 and or anything else on here?
Not I.
I'm good. Bob, anything on the budget?
No, not really.
Mary?
No, I don't think so.
Excellent. Okay, we have no old business. New business was actually, I covered that under the quote when the end of Ed's. So time to put on a show. We'll leave this up to Mr. Tedeschi.
Okay, so I think we'd like to, Matt, you want to share your screen? Is that how?
Yeah, let me unshare. I think Matt can share his. Go ahead.
So I'd like to show you, you know, where we're at with the wastewater treatment plant upgrade. We've been implementing the wastewater facility plan, all the recommendations. We went through it with a fine-tooth comb, make sure they're all. That it works. And we've been building what's called a Revit model. Like in the old days, you get a, you know, you put a plan sheet, work in AutoCAD, and you create drawings. With complex designs, you know, vertical construction like this, you work in this realm called Revit. It's a 3D model. You build a 3D model of the of everything, and then just so you can see if there's any conflicts with different disciplines, and then you cut sections through the model and you create floor plans, wall sections, elevation views. So what Matt is going to show you is that effort. So, Matt, can you share your screen? Or
Sure. Let's see here. Let's let me get this.
There you go.
All right. So everyone can see the title screen. And so this is our presentation for the plan upgrade. As we go through, if you have questions, feel free to ask. I'm going to try to keep it kind of high level. This has been a very long collaboration with our design engineers, but most importantly with the guys down at the plant, especially Ed. We had Anthony, we had Steve. It was still ongoing and we're still collaborating with them. And this is still, you have to still remember some of the things we're going to show you, even though with how it looks, realize that it is only 30%. And you'll understand that in a second. So here's a little bit about the existing site plan. Everybody, do you understand how the existing site plan is laid out right now?
Yeah, it looks like some circles and some squares.
Oh boy.
All That's right. Why we're at the high level here. Is this, yeah.
Let me see if I can draw stuff here. Annotate. All right. So we got this is the main administration building. That's where Ed's office is, right about there. Right now the plant flow comes into this headworks building, probably about 30 feet underground. From there it pumps up to a grit system to remove the sand that washes down during storms like today. Goes into these long tanks, which are, we call them primary clarifiers, and it removes all the material out of the wastewater that readily settles. From there, it goes into these aeration tanks, and we have two of them online. From there, that's where the all the bugs in the wastewater do their job to eat up all the stuff that's suspended in the sewage as it goes through. And it's very important that when the blowers are running, that you get just the right amount of air in there. If you don't give them air, then the bugs die. And you heard a little bit about like how they lost the plant. This is the part of the plant, if you lose it, that takes time to rebuild it. After the aeration system, it goes over to these circles, which is a pair of secondary clarifiers. So the water enters the center of each one, and then it very slowly works its way to the outside, and that lets all these really fine particles settle to the ground or to the bottom of the tank. And then what comes out the far side, it's not drinking water, but it's clean enough to disinfect and then basically send out to the river. The sludge that settles out of these primaries and the secondaries, basically they head over to these storage tanks. The storage tanks will take, I should probably switch another color, but the storage tanks then accumulate the sludge, which is then thickened with the new Fournier presses kind of in this garage bay, which go into the dumpster, and then they take the sludge away, and then the liquid from the sludge goes back to the head of the plant and works its way around. That's what we're trying to upgrade. Let's see if I can annotate. Let's clear all that. All right. And so the picture on the right shows all those tanks. It also shows all the buried utilities and process piping throughout the site. It's a spaghetti of stuff. There's electrical, there's all sorts of stuff there. Let's see, let's turn this off. Okay, so this is our proposed design. So while the plant is running, we had to brainstorm ways to keep the existing plant running while we build a new plant kind of around it and all new processes. So we've kind of come up with a couple of kind of clever strategies to do that. But generally what you're looking at here, let's go back to the annotation tool. I'm not a big fan of green though. So what we did is we moved the headworks with the influent pumps over to this spot here so we can make the headworks, we can size it the right way for modern pumps, for minor fine screening. From there, we're going to go to a new grit separator, which is this circle here. From that grit separator, we're going to go into new primary clarifiers, which again, we're trying to build offline. So these primary clarifiers remove all the sands out of the wastewater. From there, it goes into these aeration tanks, which it's there's an extra step in this aeration system. So it helps get better wastewater treatment, more flexibility, more stability. Trying to make Ed's life just a little bit easier, working here at the plant. Once it and we have three treatment trains here. After it goes through those trains in parallel, we basically come out the backside and we can go to one of three new secondary clarifiers, the round ones. The two there's two that are in the same spot as the old one. We're gonna basically rebuild them because all the equipment inside of it is at the end of its life. We want to try to make it a little deeper so they work, function a little better, and store sludge a little better. You do need a third one so you have redundancy. So we built the three. We also are building a new solids handling building here, which that's where your sludge thickening is going to be. That's going to be the pumps that pump out of the bottom of these tanks. We have a new sludge storage tank here, which we're reusing. Again, we're trying to reuse the existing structures that are on the ground. And then after the secondary clarifiers, we go to a new disinfection process that then sends it out to the river. And let me delete all that. So this is what we have so far. We're basically designing this thing in Revit in 3D as we go along. So you can see there's a considerable amount of detail that goes into these, and we'll zoom into a couple of these to see what we have here. At the end of this, I think it makes sense to give you a copy of this PDF to attach the meeting minutes, so then you guys can look at this more leisurely, or show it off maybe a little bit. But basically, this is generally what the site's going to look like. So the biggest change from the site is we're trying to create a central entranceway. That would be number four for the access. I love the annotation here. So vehicles would come in and leave through a main gate, and then we have a public entrance space. So we are trying to upgrade the site for current security standards. But in addition to that, we're also the current site's really cramped with trying to get vehicles around the existing admin building to the different parts of the facility. So we're actually kind of flipping that up on its upside down, where the old building used to be here. Now we have a big open spot, so there's a lot of space to get between all the different buildings with tractor trailers and other types of deliveries or pump trucks, whatever cranes, whatever you might need for the site. We'll kind of zoom through here. We are going to keep the existing secondary control building. We're going to turn that into a maintenance building, and just try to lightly do some light improvements on that. And let's go to the next slide here. So we have a couple different renderings. This kind of shows the public entrance way, the main entrance for people coming to the site. This is a view inside right now. We have a little bit of extra space inside. We haven't really programmed that space out yet, but pretty much we have to make the facility accessible for the American Disability Act for a lot of the public facing and the office spaces. So we do have to add one elevator. We were able to kind of limit where, how we're kind of manage that. Here's a very interesting view that we have shown here. Let me share here. See here. Okay. So after you kind of come through the main gate here, what we have is three garage bays for all the different equipment that they have stored right now outside. We also are making sure we have a loading dock, so when they get the equipment deliveries on tractor trailers, they have a way. to offload from the tractor trailer safely with storage inside. Kind of in this alcove here, we have another garage bay, which is actually for when we remove the grit and we remove like the fine screening, such as non-flushable wipes and other unmentionables. We have a dumpster in there that it goes in the dumpster and they could pull it out and dispose of it. But most importantly, what we have up here is basically the new admin space. So we took the idea of if they're looking for some garage space, but they also need some admin space, if we stack them together, we can do it in one building, which is a lot less expensive than trying to basically gut and renovate the existing admin space now, which is just really kind of poorly configured to start off with. And there were some structural issues there. So this kind of consolidating everything and being able to build this entire structure offline while the whole rest of the plant operates, it's really going to kind of work out during the construction phase. All right. Oh, let me delete some of my... You can guys start taking a look here at what's on the inside. There's my picture. Here we go.
Is there an evac garage in that building?
For the evac for...
Well, the vacuum truck.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I think the depth here is 60
high
feet.
Bay somewhere.
Yeah, they're high bays. This is I think this is about 60 feet back, so we can fit the vac truck. We can fit some of the trailers that the staff has, and then if you know there's a winter storm, they want to pull their like one of the city's pickup trucks or something in there, or a skid steer or something like that. There's room for that. Yes.
Good.
So the public entrance, when you basically come up the stairs or the elevator, this is kind of the main entrance, which again, we're trying to keep people away from the working part of the facility. We're trying to keep the public safe. This is sort of the current layout. This is part of the stuff that we're still laying out with Ed and his team. We want to make sure that it meets his needs, but also it's also comfortable to work in. Right now, what we do is we have a new laboratory space. And the idea was to have a window up the front here, which lets the public kind of see, you know, yeah, this is an active laboratory. There's things actually happening, but it also lets staff kind of see when people are kind of coming to the facility for visits. We also have a main control room with basically another window where they can kind of see some SCADA screens up showing basically just the plant being operated. But we try to also keep that tucked near the office space for the operators. We have a nice big conference room in the middle of everything. In the back, we have showers for both the men and the women. We have a central staircase, some HVAC storage, and a separate break room, kitchen space. So that way we don't have to kick out the staff when they're on their break to have engineering meetings. Let's see, this is kind of a view looking sort of at the different levels. You can kind of see we have stairs that take you down to the garage bays. We arranged the stairs in the back to maximize the space of the garage. We're going to put a generator room in here. We're also using that the roof is slanted. So what we're going to do is use the slanted roof so we can have a mezzanine level for all the electrical equipment. So one of the things we have to do is upgrade the electrical system for the whole plant. So we're building this offline. We can get this new electrical room up and running and then slowly transition the new plant equipment over to the new electrical system while the old system continues to function. That's another one of those little tricks we're kind of figured out. This is the Headworks building. Now you're kind of seeing a little bit of the beauty of our Revit 3D modeling. So one of the things you realize is like this is all drawn to scale. You can actually see we kind of this was Bob's suggestion. It's a good one. He asked Simone to put in a 6-foot tall person, in a couple of the different spaces of the rendering, so you can kind of get a sense on the scale of what these buildings look like. Right now we're showing all the different levels of where the wastewater comes in the bottom level, and it gets pumped through the influent pumps, which would be number two, gets pumped up. You can see the fine screens in the middle, which capture a lot of the rags that clog up all the equipment and create a lot of headaches and reliability issues. So we're going to get rid of those with a pair of screens. At the top floor right now, we have some, the top floor, we're still kind of finalizing the layout, but you can see there's some equipment in there to basically, it's kind of ironic, but after you move all the stuff from the wastewater, the grit and all the non-flushable wipes, you actually have to wash it and grind it before you throw it in a dumpster. It's kind of a silly state rule. Here's another view of the lower level, just kind of showing you how everything is big at these treatment plants. I mean, we tried really hard to use the most of the space we have available without making things too large, but we need that space to move the wastewater through the plant. This is a different view. Right now we have it. We're showing an overhead gantry crane. This is the primary clarifiers where we're removing a lot of the sands. Well, after the grit system, there's still a bunch of stuff that won't remove as grit, but we still can settle it out before it goes in the aeration tank. So this again is just kind of just generally showing you the scale of what's going in and then out of the plant. And then we actually have to have some support pumps and equipment underneath this tank. And this is showing how that's connected with a utility tunnel and a little pump gallery at the end there. This is an aeration biological tank. I've always called it an aeration tank, but there's a lot going on in this one. Basically go anoxic where there's a slight lack of oxygen. I don't know, the treatment gets kind of complicated and it loses me, but that's why we have Simone on the call. But
Ed to run the plant, this is the science around this is the complex, this is what treats the wastewater. So
yeah, so if you have questions how this works, I would ask Ed. Pretty much we've modeled this entire plant through wastewater treatment plant modeling software separate from this 3D software. So we can check how the plant would respond, how does it treat and remove BOD, TSS, and then the total nitrogen during different flow conditions, different times of year, different types of water temperatures, air temperatures, things like that. So we've spent a lot of time looking at this plant in a lot of different ways. This is just showing you the size of these tanks. These tanks are probably maybe 18, 19 feet deep. So what that does is you have a bigger colony of bugs. So the plant reacts a lot better to changing flow conditions. It's also, it'll be less temperamental when you're operating it. Every plant has a personality. I'm hoping this plant's going to be nice, easy and mellow for Ed and staff. What we have here is kind of showing the outdoor rendering of the solids handling building. So the main thing here is you're thinking like, well, what are the garage doors on the second floor for? Truly, that's for getting equipment in and out of the room. We want to make this so it's upgradable. The main work of this building is going to be the lower bays, where after you have sludge thickening, you can open up one of these, you can open one of the garage doors and there'll be a dumpster inside. They can come in with a truck, take the dumpster out, and put a new dumpster in the other one. That was one of the ideas that the guys at the staff, the guys at the plant had, was say, hey, can we have two bays? So they'll unload one dumpster, pull out, then they go to the other dumpster and they pick up the full one. So then they don't have like this process of like, probably, what was it, 45 minutes an hour of just moving dumpsters around, so they can get one out, put one back, then take the old one away. I think that was a great idea. But we have the updoor garage bays if they ever need to swap out the equipment instead of I hate designs where they basically crane in big pieces of equipment and then put the roof on. And then 20 years later, it's somebody else's problem to figure out if you need to change it or upgrade it. We try to think that through ahead of time. Let's close this. This is kind of a different cross-section view of it. Area one is going to be a pretty big space underground, which is for all the different pumps for the sludge equipment. We'd also have plant water equipment down there. There'll probably be over a dozen different pumps down there, maybe 5 or 10 horsepower pumps. Number seven is the going to be electrical room for all those pumps. Number three right there is an area where we have set aside if we need any kind of chemicals at the facility. Two is where we have the dumpsters get deposited, and then the sludge thickening equipment would be behind area number six at the top. So after you thicken, the thickened sludge is kind of a pain to move around. It's like moving around, I don't know, topsoil almost, but sticky topsoil. So the way the equipment can function is after the equipment thickens it, we can just have that drop through the floor down into the dumpster below, really minimize the handling of that material. And we want to keep the spaces separate so we can do odor control a lot more effectively. And then in the back, you don't really see, but in the back, we have some stairs that connect the different levels. This is one of the renderings we have of the new UV system. So basically, the way we're showing it, the flow's coming in after the secondary clarifier. It's the clean effluent is coming in from the left side. It goes through. Right now, we have a pair of UV trains. After the UV trains, it goes into a basin, which we can use to create our own plant water. You can't drink it or bathe it, but you can use it to clean tanks off. You can use it for the washing of your grit and your screens up, your screenings up front. After that, we have a new effluent flow meter. With that, we're trying to fix a problem where there's a condition that happens when just before the stormwater pump station turns on, sometimes the flow backs up a little bit, waiting for that stormwater pump station to engage. So what we did is we actually raised this flow meter weir, so we wouldn't get that interference from that stormwater pump station, kind of the lag of it turning on. It'll make collecting data a lot easier at the plant. This is just a different view. See, you're kind of seeing the power of this 3D Revit modeling here. We can slice and dice this in different ways. We could also show this as like traditional two-dimensional black and white plans, which we do, and we'll annotate that as well. But a lot of the effort's been going into to making this as dimensionally accurate and showing the intent of what we're trying to construct here. Less visually interesting, but this is yet another set of calculations we did to make sure that flow goes downhill. And we had to calculate through the entire plant, make sure that the wastewater flow before each step is con between each treatment process is connected. And if it's going through a pipe or a channel, that everything flows downhill. It doesn't back up under low flow conditions, under peak flow conditions, under hurricane conditions, all those conditions. We want to make sure everything flows downhill towards the end when we only pump it once at the very beginning. And then this is another diagram that's showing all the different processes that all work together at this new plant. The existing plant has a lot of this. This is trying to show all in one diagram all the different things that work together that Ed controls to make sure the water comes out clean. So with that, I'm gonna open it up. Everybody's head's probably spinning a little bit. I try to go kind of high level. Any questions?
Matt, I got a couple, if you don't mind. First off, is that solar on top of all these buildings, or is that just the design is showing like a pattern on the roofs of these buildings? Is there any consideration for solar?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. You have beautiful south-facing property. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that when we design this, we try to take advantage of the potential for solar at the site. So many times people build these architectural marvels, and then you want to add solar panels in 5 or 10 years, and there's too much too complicated a roof line, or the faces the wrong direction. So yeah, we did show solar on as much as we could.
Do you feel that, I mean, the way solar is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, do you feel that it will self-generate for everything going on down there, or is it just going to take a piece of it away?
It's not going to be net zero, no. I'm a big proponent of trying to do that at my own house. Probably yeah, never get there. But honestly, looking at this, I've run some back of the envelope calculations, it's certainly not, let's say solar engineering isn't my specialty, wastewater engineering is. So I'm hopeful that, you know, when we're done with this project, that it can take a bite out of the energy bill between that and then making some smart decisions between equipment as well. It's a two-part thing. You want to generate electricity, but you want to reduce your energy usage as well.
Sure, no, understood.
So hopefully we'll reduce the electric bill. Yeah, that's the plan. Okay.
My other question, generators in a building. The only reason I'm saying this, because I have a 1964 12-cylinder generator sitting in one of my sewer plants up in Bethel, that they had to put it in the basement and then built the building. I can't even imagine, it's still sitting there. Is this wise to put the generator inside the building, or do you think you're better off with a self-contained unit outside?
Great, great question. Yeah, I've run into a couple plants like that. Like, they pour the basement, they drop the generator in, and then, well, forget that. Even on a pump station, they build the building, they put the generator in, they cover it up and never get it out. I see that a lot. We actually are designing this so the generator slides in through the loading dock doorway opening.
Okay.
So again, the idea would be that you could get the generator comes in and out through that opening, and then when you need to replace it in 30 years, or I mean, nothing is forever.
No, I understand.
It would leave the same way it comes in.
Okay. And my last thing is, I look at all the pumps. I look at, you know, your head building and everything. I know this is very early in your design, but are there gantries? Are there going to be gantries so every one of these units can be taken out safely and worked on safely? I'm sure there's removable floors and grates and all that, but is that your plan, having some sort of a gantry over every item?
Yeah, we already show when we. I'm not going to pull it up, but we already showed a couple of them. But yeah, that's the. Yeah, that's very important that we have hatch openings to get. Sure. Be able to just pull stuff straight out. Where we can't do that, then we would have overhead gantry rails what I'm trying to accomplish would be like that pump gallery that we showed towards the end would be to have a nice overhead crane rail system. They could pick anything anywhere they want, because just having like an I-beam along the center line, I don't think that makes sense in a space like that. But that is the goal.
Okay, because I'm thinking I-beams, and I'm thinking the inspections that have to be done on the chain falls, and you know, the yearly inspections on that. I'm just thinking of the future, making this job easier for when Ed's kids take over when he retires. Because where I am now, I'm learning all these things that we can't, like I said, with that generator. We physically could not get it out of the building unless we took it apart. And that's only my concern.
Well, even then you have to go in there with a plasma cutter, because it's, you're not carrying it upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had projects like that, and literally they're like, we're gonna ban it in the basement forever, and we'll build a new one outside. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't be nuisance.
I got a couple of questions, if I may, through Kelly.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Looking at the layout, I maybe not be. I'm not that an expert on the processing, but it appears that what we're doing is basically enhancing the same process that we have right now, how we can operate the plant. I may be wrong, but is this the state of the art for sewage plants today? You know, with all the advances in technology, it seemed like we're still building something that was designed in the 60s. I don't know. I may be totally wrong. I mean, the buildings, everything is easier to work with, I'm sure. But the basic state of the art for sewage plant is this it?
This is a solid, reliable treatment technology. There are state of the art technologies out there that we're staying away from.
Why is that?
Some of them use an incredible amount of electricity, such as like a membrane system. So okay. there's no need to use that much electricity here. Other options, they have these exotic systems that you know, you read about things like in university settings, they use algae to treat wastewater, and then they burn the algae to create electricity. Or there's other situations where they have this certain type of bacteria that they try to grow that's finicky. We're trying to stay away from technologies like that because it's very expensive to operate. It's very labor intensive. We're trying to use a technology that the staff's not only familiar with, but it's very reliable and predictable, and you don't need artificial intelligence to operate. That's why we're using this design.
Is that something that DEEP or EPA would have recommended? It seemed like they're, you know, if they're involved nationwide, and are they going to come back and say, you know, hey, this is not state of the art. What are we doing here? Has that been worked out with those guys? Or? I just didn't want to see us get involved so far, and then they come in and say, you know, what are you doing? Have we coordinated with DEEP on it? Is that
one of the, if I may, one of the things in coordinating with DEP is they require us to follow their standards, design standards. TR-16 has most of that document is related to wastewater treatment. Back half, anyway, they have all these processes: primary, biological treatment, secondary. They give specific guidance on what to do, what not to do, and so that's what we're following. And you know, it was I don't know when it was thought of, but it may have been 50 or 100 years ago when he started. It's been refined ever since. There's going to be a slight modification to the biological treatment, but it's a tried and true process that's been working. It's played out across the country, across the world.
What has changed though is the plant has been cobbled together over, I don't know, 70 years of different processes mm-hmm. that have been kind of added, moved around, fixed.
That's correct.
Fix the fix, you know, and then so this is giving Ed and his staff a kind of a I don't want to say clean slate, but consistency throughout the plant. But we did, the DEP did go through and approve the wastewater facility plan, which recommended this treatment process. So for them to then disagree and say, well, we want membrane filtration, which is very, you know, power intensive. It would be like saying, like, it'd be like them undoing their approval, which would be, they don't do that. But in addition to all that, we are modeling, this is going to be the first plant upgrade for Derby where The entire plant was fully modeled from start to finish based on the data that's collected. We did some modeling with the plant maybe, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. We've refined that model, but the entire plant that's being designed and will be constructed is based on the model results, where in the past, the work for when they added, say, like when they decided they had to add aeration tanks back in, I want to say, the 60s, that there wasn't computer modeling back then. It was someone who was doing a couple analysis with pen and paper. I'm not saying that modeling replaces that. Common sense always like wins every day, but we are using state of the art software modeling to make sure that this operates in a predictable way.
Yeah, I was just thinking that some of the processing, I was waiting for you to say it, that we're using some kind of X-ray or radiation or something to
We
kill
are UV.
bacteria.
We are
You know,
UV. UV state of the art. Well, okay.
you are using it?
So UV is state of the art, which means it's been used for the last 20 years. That's considered state of the art.
I'm still standing here. Okay.
So
All
we are
right.
irradiating the bacteria
I
with
just.
UV. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it's actually going along well, and taking into consideration that you have to keep certain aspects of the current plant up and running, and the spaghetti mess and what we have today and how things flow through that plant is going to be refined greatly with this new design. So I think it's a good job moving forward so far.
Thanks.
And
It's taken.
I didn't see my office though in that new administration building because
Yeah, it was in the
that was
basement. You see the guy standing in the basement, Brian?
That place looks nicer than City Hall. I don't know. I'm just saying.
You can have my office any day.
Yeah, I would just keep something in mind, just from my past life. The public safety also around the plant. If we have to put an engine, a ladder, something's going on in the chemical laboratory. Access to things like that. So, I don't know what's behind that plant, the north side of it. If we could get equipment around that side, but that looks like that's the high side of the main building that's being built. But just some of those considerations in the whole mix of it.
So I'll show you. Yeah, I've been fighting with the architect for some things like how we have egress from different spaces. She's always keeping me honest, making sure we have two methods of egress from as many spaces as we can. But on the back, so that new structure basically kind of goes in this space here. So on the back side, we have the railroad bridge. This thing's in the way. We have the railroad bridge kind of over off to the side here, but we do have to maintain this pathway to get to the stop logs for the train tracks if there was ever some insane flood. So you could get an engine back here if you had to access the building from the rear for firefighting. That's yeah. So we did think about that. To a certain degree, there really isn't much access behind here anyway, because of Route 8. But there's not much of a need to be back here for access. But you can see right now, I mean, you can see right now how tight this space is to kind of work your way around the site. That's really, really tight space. So we're gonna open that thing wide open to actually safety will be a lot. And accessibility with cranes and first responders should greatly improve.
You know, Charlie,
Excellent.
you made a good point there, just knowing the radius of the ladder truck. But also, if I remember correctly, if I don't think anything's changed, the only hydrant down there is down in the hollow between the flood walls and the building. It's really not even accessible. So maybe at some point, maybe we can get regional to put a hydrant up at the entrance, so you're going to be able to take in a line if you know take a feeder in. Where that hydrant is now, I don't know which one Peppy changed, but the one that's down in the hollow, you can't even get to it.
The other thought I had, there might be a benefit to having a large diameter water service, so they can fill it like a tanker truck for jetting without the hassle of reaching out to the water company all the time.
Well,
they could give you a metered, you could get a metered, a metered yard hydrant that Regional would probably want it to be metered for that reason. Probably a 2-inch line or a 3 or a 4-inch line is probably all you'd need.
Right.
Because you got a lot of pressure down there and you got a lot of volume down there.
But these are things we're going to refine over detailed design with Ed.
Sure.
Would you be able to throw a dry hydrant next to the Housatonic, or is that I can't remember if it's legal or not with rivers.
It's problematic.
Okay. Yeah.
That's actually quite a good slope actually from there down to the river itself, and then you got to deal with high tide and low tide.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think a fire truck could pull a draft that far, to tell you the truth.
The only other thing I'm thinking too is you had that you said there's a room that'll collect the water that they can use for like the screens and things like that. How many gallons you got in there?
I don't know if we calculated that yet. Maybe I'm guessing maybe 20,000 gallons, not enough for a fire.
Well, it's enough for a small fire. I'm bringing 500 gallons in my engine.
So the problem we have though, I've run into this a lot, is that people don't like running plant effluent through their pump equipment because they feel like sometimes it's just not quite clean enough, which.
I think it would be a cross connection violation anyway.
That's sometimes you get that problem too. So they just have this. Most places have, even like pump, you know, jetters who go in there and clean your sewer line. They say we only use potable water.
Yeah,
and it's a. I'm always arguing with that. Or like, but the effluent's clean enough. It's just like from wastewater. We're not drinking it, but they just don't do that. So they only use potable water. So the fire department's going to probably say the same thing.
Is there going to be any change to like the inflow process, or is like literally the same flow that's going into this plant? You know, no improvement there.
Yeah, they're the same wastewater flows that the plant receives now. Say like the storm flows and the summer lows, the wastewater strength, all that stays the same. We're just going to be managing that in a different location, and we're also going to be adding these influence screens, which will remove a lot of the rags that clog up the equipment automatically, and then an upgraded grit system that again will remove a lot of the sand and gravel more efficiently.
But are we expecting some of the other metrics to improve, like nitrates? I mean, I'm just trying to get the benefits to try to outsell, right? The story. It's the same flow going in, right? Like, you know, okay, great. We're processing easier. But I guarantee this plant costs a lot more than the current does, right? Right? So, you know, it's hard to say it'd be more efficient to process the same flow. So I bet the cost is.
We do plan that there. It's not really a calculate. I didn't calculate the benefit yet, but we are planning to have lower O&M costs overall, between more efficient pumping, equipment maintenance will be much more predictable because instead of kind of things breaking around you or like you having problems with the blowers, like you did upgrade and fix the blowers, but there always seems to be something going at the, you know, that needs urgent attention at the plant. So this corrects those problems. so that you don't have those unintended interruptions of treatment that causes basically pollution out to the river. So that's the benefit. It's just right now it's just an old plant, and equipment everywhere needs to be upgraded. And we're starting to do that with the Fournier press, the blowers. Ed did a great job getting a couple new influent pumps installed. But there's other things like the generators, the electrical system in general, just little pumps here and there. That all needs improvement. Odor control system, we're planning to have a much more rigorous type of odor control system. So, we're trying to prevent the release of odors during certain events, things like that.
Matt, do you think this admin building is going to need to be sprinkled?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay. Well, there's another, another whole talk about bringing hydrants in too.
Yeah.
With the mix in that admin building, you got so many different things going on.
Yeah, the garage space underneath would be sprinklered.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make an argument and probably figure out a different way to have fire suppression in 480 volt electrical rooms other than sprinklers.
Yeah. Sure.
You usually don't see sprinklers, but I'm sure someone's going to want like something. And then again, it really depends on what the classification of the different spaces are.
Sure.
Matt, my last question is going to be, obviously, we've taken all the data calculated from what we handle today. But I don't know if you've been to that area. There's a large potential for growth in that area. And they're talking about, now they're talking about condos up on Telescope Mountain. What percentage of growth do you typically put into a plant like this?
Ooh, that's a...
I could probably answer that. When we did the facilities plan in 2014 and then in 2020 and then upgraded in 2023, we went through different potential developments throughout the city. And there wasn't much. There is accounts for growth in the 20-year flow projections. I don't have the number in front of me, but it wasn't significant. It was maybe single digit. 5% growth or something like that. Some of these developments could add, like that big condo development, it's not going to add hundreds of thousands of gallons a day. It could add 10 or 20,000 gallons a day, some of these big developments. So but at the time we said, I think the condo right off of Water Street, I think that was projected in the facilities plan because that was thought of back in 2020, I believe. And we looked at others around the city, but we are keeping the plant design flow at 3.5 MGD. And if you saw through Ed's reports recently, and it's always much less than that, right? So, and we're still so.
As long as there's there's been a lot of things thrown around and nothing obviously has come to fruition down there in 20 plus years, but a hotel down there, a five-story hotel, a lot of mom and pop businesses with condos above them, as long as we have some sort of what you feel to be a comfortable growth potential built into what we're doing now. So, 10 years from now, if something does come to fruition, we don't go start scratching our heads and say, Matt, get back to the drawing board. We need bigger pumps.
No, we have, I think there's maybe 100, 110,000 gallons per day of growth built in. But what you're not realizing though is your ongoing II program is reducing base infiltration entering the system. It's, the intention also will be eventually to private inflow sources like sump pumps and stuff, reduce that. And then your total flows are coming, clean water's removing that from the system, which opens it up for even more growth in addition to what was planned. So the plant is built for a planning horizon of the 20 plus years. Absolutely.
I thought you were
Thank
going to
you.
ask because they're building condos like right next to the plant.
Me
Like we're
too.
talking about odor control systems, and I think Ed could attest to that in Milford, where there's similar stories where they build.
I've heard the stories. I walk on the Greenway once in a while. Trust me, been there in the summer. But those are all good things. Does anybody else have any other questions in regards to the design of the plant?
What is
No,
the
I think it's all right.
capacity that we're building to now? What do we have as a flow now versus the capacity of this plant? I don't think we heard anything on that.
Sure.
What's
Yeah,
what
it's going to be
are we
rated.
processing right now?
It's going to be rated for 3.5 MGD, just as it is today, and with a peak flow of 10 MGD. And Matt, is that correct if I'm wrong? Is that
It's we're it's going to be on the books for 10 MGD, but we're designing it a little extra just in case. So yeah, it's going to be the same overall. It'll be the same convey the same amount of peak flow. That conveying 10 million gallons per day, 12 million gallons per day is not an easy thing to do. It will be able to do that. But it's also designed to operate successfully at that flows Ed receives as he reports of like 1.5 MGD, which is it's like 8 or 9 times less. So it's quite a range that this thing is designed to operate at.
Bob,
So the
would
max capacity is 10, is what they're saying. We're less than three now, right?
we're one and a
We're
half right now.
one and a half.
So
So
we're
we're in
one and a
good shape.
half. This goes to 10. So yeah, there's plenty of ability to absorb
One is spare.
more. And
yeah, you'll get a you if you get a 2.5 inch rainstorm, like it stresses this plant like every other plant in the state, and that flow will shoot up to 10 MGD for I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour. So we have to be able to convey that. The pumps we're designing around and the effluent headworks area are actually slightly larger capacity wise than what's there now. We would have a Jockey pump, which is very efficient at 1.5 MGD, that we could throttle up to like 2 or 3 MGD, which would run like 90% of the time. And then when the big flows come in, then we turn on one of Ed's big boy pumps, and then that those two together would handle anything, and we have redundancy for all that. So there's plenty of capacity for big flows.
That big boy pump we call the
Hey, Bob, do you think that once this is all completed and said and done, I mean, none of us will probably be on this board, but do you think the city should look into like a bank, like what we have up in Bethel that you guys have created? Do you think that, so we can, do a 20-year build out, and then if one of these concerns come in, say if they're good for, let's say, 20,000 a day, one of these bigger outfits, where we would subtract that or make them pay allocation? Do you think, or we're not even close to that at this point?
I think Ed could talk to that, but I think we have, when we're talking about impact fees, if that's what you're talking about, they could buy into this capacity. And they also, some communities talk about banking for II. If you were at capacity and somebody wants to dump 20,000 gallons into your system, some communities say, go find 20 or pay for the removal of 20,000 gallons a day of the II. Of II. So I know that's done outside of Connecticut a lot. I've been talking to the state. I brought it up to Carlos at one of our meetings to say, if you get to that capacity, we're not here yet. We're not pushing the capacity of the plant.
Well, you know, our situation up in Bethel, where we're pumping the Danbury, we're only allowed so much. And so when we have a new development come in, if they're going to put 20,000 a day into our system, then that 20,000 gets backed out of the bank. So we know that we have the quota. I'm just wondering if that's something that Derby should look into after the plant is done, just so they can keep a handle on it.
It's a good point. Yeah, and yeah, in Bethel, you have like 100,000 gallons to spare, maybe, right? You're getting close. You're pushing that limit to Danbury.
We're about halfway to the limit, yeah. And so we're keeping a close eye on it.
Yeah, other communities do that as well.
It's just something to think about for the future.
All right, any other questions? Well, gentlemen, I thank you for the presentation. I think it was excellent. I think we're moving forward in a good direction.
Thanks, and, Matt.
We look forward to seeing. Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Yeah. So, do you think I could? You think I could buy the first tire for my Ferrari, or what? Kind of...
No, you ain't even going to get a hubcap for what you did tonight, man. Once I see shovels in the ground, then I get happy.
I tried.
All right. Before I call on the last item agenda, which is the adjournment, I'm just going to say that for the members on the committee, Mr. Abel's review was sent to each of you in this packet. It will be on the agenda for next month. So if you have any concerns in regards to the review that I wrote up for Ed, please email me separately. Do not email as a group. I will take care of emailing as a group so that we don't constitute an illegal meeting. But if you have any questions in regards to that, but Ed, that will be on the agenda for next month. So feel free to be here to listen to us talk bad about you.
No problem.
But all right.
Now, who do we give credit to? I was late getting on. I was searching the Zoom. I don't know how I tripped. Finally got on, but I was late. I know you had a problem getting Zoom up, I guess, right? Somebody figured it out?
No, it actually, and Mr. Garfalo was right on time with it, and he came on perfectly at 6:30.
Oh, I was trying to get on, and it was into 6:40. I'm saying, I guess the meeting is over, and all of a sudden it popped up. Okay.
Yeah. Nope. The link that was at the bottom of the agenda PDF file. If you just click on that, it would open right up into it. So.
We'll save it too.
Yeah.
It saves the numbers.
Yeah. If you ever get stuck, you go into Zoom. The last numbers in the end of that link, the meeting ID. Down the third line down from that link on the agenda, you can actually just type the meeting ID in.
The meeting ID popped up. I mean, it's ending 77, I think it is.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, we'll figure it out.
All right. Well, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Motion made by Mr. Manny. A second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Strickland. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, our next meeting will be September 17th at 6:30. Thank you all for your time tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good job, everyone.
Productive meeting.
Have a good night, folks.
Thanks, Mark. Enjoy.
Ciao.